Let us look at Psalm 87. Psalm 87. As we continue our studies on significant cities in scriptures, and we were studying Jerusalem. And this morning we are going to cover part 3 of this study, entitled The Future of Jerusalem, because in part 1 we have already studied the history of Jerusalem, and part 2 the present controversy concerning Jerusalem. I'm sorry, I think I have skipped a slide. Let me just go back. All right. Psalm 87, verses 2 and 3. Now, in that text, you will read about Jerusalem, and its glorious future that God has planned for it. First one says that it stands on a foundation of mountains, and we shall see why the text is describes Jerusalem in that way. And then for the rest of the chapter, you will read of the glorious things that will come upon Jerusalem in the days to come, because God will gather all the people to Jerusalem, and they will say, "We are proud to be born there." That is the future of Jerusalem. God has specially named it as the city of God. God's stamp is on it. God's seal is on it. And because of that, he will definitely take care and make sure whatever has been prophesied concerning Jerusalem will be fulfilled. Now, since we did the first part of Jerusalem so long ago, perhaps I need to have a very quick recapitulation of it. We started the series in part 1 on the 29th of July last year, and this is nearly about 5 months already, when we talked on the past history of Jerusalem. We discussed the city of Jerusalem, and we found out that the city came from a root word, or the name itself came from a root word meaning dual. Perhaps it is a reference to the two mountains on which Jerusalem stands, Mount Zion and Mount Moriah. And so we read in the first text, in the first verse of the text just now, that the foundation of Jerusalem is indeed the mountains. Then we studied Jerusalem itself. We found that Jerusalem actually has an old name which means Salem, which is the peace. But we know that Jerusalem has never experienced peace throughout history. Jerusalem has gone through troublous times. And Jerusalem is found in the Bible over 700 times. Today, we find the Islamic world very against Jerusalem. And they claim that Jerusalem is their heritage, when in actual fact, the name Jerusalem is not found even once in the Quran. Whereas the name Jerusalem is found over 700 times in the scriptures alone. These other names of Jerusalem are important. They have the seal of God. It is called Zion. It is referred to as the city of David, establishing its heritage, the heritage of Israel. The city of David, when David made Jerusalem the capital of all Israel, Northern Kingdom, Southern Kingdom, when they combined together. And of all names, the most important, of course, it has a seal of God and is named the City of God. Now, though God chose Jerusalem and the Jews. That's what we learned the last time. God specially chose them not because of their big number, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, not because of their fame or popularity or whatever it might be, but God chose them because they were small number and God Himself wanted to choose them. I have chosen thee because I love thee. God specially chose to love them. Full stop. It was His right. And so we find Jerusalem became the city of God, became the very chosen city of God. But even although God has chosen Jerusalem to be His own city, yet it does not mean that Jerusalem is going to enjoy special favor from Him all the time. Because God did what I command you to obey, then you will be blessed. If you disobey what I command you, then you will be cursed. And so that is described for us in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where there is a list of curses and a list of blessings upon obedience or disobedience. Now, we have recovered, we have dealt with chapter 1, or part 1, sorry, the history of Jerusalem. Then, on the 5th of August, the week after, we dealt with part 2, the present controversy concerning Jerusalem. Now, it's important that we study some of these prophecies concerning Jerusalem that are being fulfilled now, this present time, although they were prophesied years ago in the past. For example, we see Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, that he prophesied that if Israel or if the Jews disobeyed, then they will be taken out of their country and they would be in captivity for 70 years. Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. Why? So that the land could be liberated for 70 years. What does that mean? 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 to 21 tells us of the reason why the Jews were deported out of Israel to a foreign land in Babylon, because they kept not the Sabbath for the land. Now, what is so important about that? God had, from the very beginning, told them that they must give their land every 7th year a rest. 6 years they could cultivate the land, but on the 7th year they must give the land a rest. They must not cultivate the land. On the 6th year, God would give them a double harvest to compensate for the 7th year when they must not harvest the field. And so they disobeyed. They were too greedy. They continued harvesting the field, working the field year after year, year after year. Apparently, it must have been 490 years that they never gave the land their Sabbath, a land. God counts. Although at that moment, God did not punish them, but God counted the times when they refused to give the land a rest. And so God said, 70 years, you'll be taken out. No place in the scripture did it say, do we read of Jerusalem, out the Israel, giving the land a rest. Never a Sabbath for the rest. Working. Not just like some of us, sometimes we work and we work and we work. And sometimes, although we should remember the Lord on the Lord's Day, but we refuse to do so. We want to earn more money. We want to do something else. We want to go for a holiday and we forget about the Lord and the day that we want to come together to honor Him. And apparently, for the Jews, God did not seem to punish them. For 490 years, God allowed them to go on Then when the time came, God came, stepped in, and God punished them. 70 years, you have not given the land a rest, so I shall take you out. And so that's why we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the land was given a rest when the people were taken out of the land for 70 years. Them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon when Nebuchadnezzar attacked Jerusalem, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, when he raised up Cyrus, the king of Persia, to defeat Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, so that the Jews could go back to their land after 70 years. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath for 70 years. Thirdly, another prophecy that we could see fulfilled, and that was the prediction in Daniel's vision of 70 weeks. Daniel in the vision saw a period of 70 weeks, divided into three periods. 1 week plus 62 weeks plus the 70th week. 1 plus 62, 69 plus 1, 7. During these periods, various things had happened. Now, we have no time to go into that, but for 69 weeks, the prophecy had to do with Messiah. At the end of the 69th week, you say the Messiah will be cut off. That would be found in Daniel chapter 9. Then after that, on the 70th week, the abomination of desolation will be set up, when Antichrist will be set up. But 7 weeks after the 69th week, nothing of that happened. Bible scholars have calculated the time when this prophecy of the 69 weeks was fulfilled. It would be from the time when the children of Israel built and were allowed to go back, and then up to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem in triumph. That would be 69 weeks. Weeks here would mean years. We have no time to go into that, but it would be 69 times 7 will give you 493, and that will be 493 years from this time to the time when Jesus was entered into Jerusalem in AD 33. After that, 7 years later, nothing happened, giving us the idea, therefore, that something must have happened which was not to be recorded and calculated in the vision of the 70 weeks. And Bible scholars will call that a parenthesis. And today, we are in that parenthesis. The 70th week has not been fulfilled. The 70th week is still in the future until the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes the church back into heaven. Then the 70th week will start, the great tribulation. So, my argument is this. If the 69 weeks as prophesied in Daniel's prophecy has been fulfilled literally to the very letter, if the prophecy concerning Babylon, Israel, taken into Babylon, and then 70 years later, set free to go back to their land. And if all these prophecies that we could see in our present time fulfilled, why not the rest of the prophecy be also fulfilled? And especially with the vision of Daniel in the second 70 weeks, when the 70th week, sorry, when the 70th week has still not yet been fulfilled. So it must be fulfilled because the 69 weeks have already been fulfilled. So, we go on to another prophecy. The prediction in Daniel 3, sorry, with regard to Jesus' prophecy. When Jesus was facing Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 24, he said, you see this temple in front of you? This temple, Solomon's temple, beautiful as it was at that time, said, soon will be raised to the ground, and not one stone will be upon another. And that prophecy was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. And not when Titus, the emperor, the Roman general, attacked Jerusalem, his soldiers ransacked and razed the temple to the ground. And not one stone of the temple was upon another because they were rushing for the gold in the temple that had melted and that flowed in between the stones. And so they removed stone by stone to get at the gold. Not one stone would be upon another. That was fulfilled prophetically. Right. Jesus, the disciples then asked Jesus, when will these things be? When he had time with them. And we read in chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The Lord answered, therefore, I want us all to understand this. Matthew 24 and Matthew 25 would answer to these three questions. When shall these things be? The raising of the temple to the ground. What shall be the sign of the coming? The second coming of Christ. And third, the end of the world. Matthew 24 and 25 must always be interpreted in this context. Do not bring the church age inside. The church age is the parenthesis. So we have to be careful when you interpret Matthew 24 and 25. With that, we go on to the prophecy of Jerusalem's present history being fulfilled. We see now in the world the prophecy concerning Jerusalem being fulfilled nearly every day. Firstly, we see the resurgence of the Israel or the resurrection of dry bones. Ezekiel 37 is another fantastic chapter. When Ezekiel saw a vision on a valley of dry bones, the bones were dead and dry. And the Lord asked, do you think the bones can live? And the Lord asked Ezekiel, breathe upon the bones, and flesh will come upon the bones. And so we find that Ezekiel prophesied, and indeed these dry bones came to life. Now, these dry bones would be a prophecy with regard to Israel being dead, seemingly, but will come up again, will rise, lost perhaps in the world's program, but will come back alive. Now, that has been fulfilled, as I shall prove to you later on, that Israel at one time was no more, but now has come back alive. And later on in that chapter, the Lord again told Ezekiel, take two sticks, put them together, name one Judah, name the other Joseph, put them together, and they became one. The meaning, interpretation of that prophecy was that today there are the two northern and southern tribes, the northern and southern kingdoms of Israel, the 10 tribes and the 2 tribes of Judah. That's right. So the first, the northern kingdom of 10 tribes had been lost when they were taken into captivity in Assyria. But the 2 tribes of were taken into Babylon and they are still there. So some people say the lost tribes of Israel, the northern kingdom, they are not lost. They will come back. and God will unite these 12 tribes together as one again. The vision of the two states in Ezekiel chapter 37. So it's interesting, if you are interested in these prophecies, to study Ezekiel 37, 9 to 14, about the interpretation of the dry bones. Here is the text. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. After the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, the Jews were dispersed all over the world into the four corners. But the Lord said, the time will come when I will gather you back, and you will become my people, and you will acknowledge me as your God. That time has not yet come, but we see the beginnings of its fulfillment now, at this present time. Consider firstly the context of this prophecy. All the past world civilizations have gone. Egyptian, in the time of Exodus, the great empire is no more great. The Assyrians, world empire, no more today. The Babylonian Empire, no more. The Roman Empire, no more. All these world empires have gone. The Persian Empire under Cyrus, gone. But today, the Jews is still there. The Jews has lasted all these years. According to some Old Testament documents, Abraham was born about 2050 BCE. Those of you who are interested in Bible studies and reading Bible commentaries will now read of the years being referred to as BCE, 2056 BCE. In old commentaries, it would have been 2056 BC, before Christ. No. They would not have Christ in the vocabulary. So they call it BCE, before the common era. Christ is blotted out. Just as Christmas, Christ is blotted out, crossed out. And so we find that even in Christian commentaries today, so liberal that Christ is left out. BCE, referring to before Christ, is now referred to as before the common era. And it's very sad when these things are happening. So Christians must be aware of these things when they read, especially in internet. Okay, Abraham was born 2056 BC. He lived for 175 years. So 2056, take away 175, you have 18, plus 175, because it's BC, before Christ. It would be 1881, which would be that's the time when he died. 1881 plus today, 2019, 3,900 years. The prophecy that was made 3,900 years ago is now going to be fulfilled very soon. All other world empires have disappeared. The Jews have remained up to this day for nearly 4,000 years. All this started when the British gave the right of the Jew, the right to the Jews to establish a land for their own in 1917, November the 2nd. The Jews, up to this time, had no land, no state. Then the British, who had a mandate over Israel at that time, decided to let the people of Israel is be established as a state under the Treaty of Balfour, 1917. Very important that they had promised Israel a land in the land of Palestine in 1917. Israel later on, after having resided in that land for some years, 1948 claimed to be the state of Israel and claimed independence. 1948 was the year of independence for Israel, and Israel had become a state after they had had no state for all the years since 70 AD right up to the time of the Balfour Declaration. That even then was just in name, but it became concrete in 1948 when they became an independent state. That is prophesied in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be led from Assyria and from Egypt and from Petros and from Cuba and so on. This is a very important verse that is being fulfilled this very day. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 11. Let's read it. Please note, this is the second time when the people of Israel be gathered together into the land. When was the first time? The first time we refer to the time when Israel was deported into Babylon, and they came back from Babylon to Israel, and Jerusalem was occupied again. The walls of Jerusalem were built in Nehemiah. After that, years later, they crucified their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, they were scattered by the Romans in 70 AD, all the four corners of the world. The first deportation was only to Babylon. This second deportation was all over the world. There were Jews everywhere. And as I said before, there was even a Jew residing by my house years ago. He passed away. They were everywhere. But God would gather them back to the land second time. Very important. Do not mistake this as many Bible commentators for the first time. This is the second return of the Jews from captivity to their land to be free, to be set at liberty. They came from Assyria in the east. They came from Egypt in the south, from Petros, Upper Egypt in the south, from Cush, Ethiopia, and Sudan, from Elam, Persia, modern-day Iran, from China, that will be Syria, and from China, Babylon, and from Hamath, Syria, and from the islands of the sea. Many people think that it will refer to the Mediterranean Sea only, or it could have been from the uttermost parts of the earth. They came back. From all over the world, millions of Jews came back to Israel to claim their land and their rights to Jerusalem. And so you see this regathering of the Jews. It's a miracle because, I mean, after the Holocaust and so on, there would be no idea that the Jews could ever come back to form a nation. But they did. Right. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is another proof that this is not the same as the deportation into Babylon. They will be gathered from the four corners of the earth. It is a global return of the Jews. Israel proclaimed their independence, or David Ben-Gurion did so on 14th of May 1948, declaring the establishment of a Jewish state in Israel to be known as the State of Israel. Independence Day was acknowledged as 19 April 2018. Then, last year, 12th May, on the anniversary of the Independence Day, they proclaimed it as Jerusalem Day. 70 years later, God worked in sevens. From 1948 to 2018, last year, period of 70 years, they proclaimed Jerusalem Day. Why? Because 1967, something very miraculous happened. When that small state of Israel was surrounded by all the Islamic nations, and they were about to attack them, and the president of Egypt had said, "We will push Israel into the river Nile." 1967, many of you might know, many of you might not know because you were not born yet. But in 1967, in six days, those surrounded by all the enemy countries around them, Israel being a small state, defeated them. Israel captured and occupied the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula, the West Bank, and all within 6 days. Within 6 days, they gained so much territory. This is what Israel was before. This is what Israel after. Look at these regions. The West Bank, Golan Heights, and Sinai. Later on, Israel gave up Sinai back to Egypt for some peace between the two. Gave back Gaza Strip to the Palestinian Authority, but the Palestinian Authority was conquered by the Hamas of Iran, and soon Israel today had a siege around Gaza Strip. Gaza Strip had a strip there so that no one could go in or out without their permission, because Hamas was out to annihilate Israel. So, West Bank, no, Israel will not return. Why? Because Jerusalem was there. Jerusalem was in the West Bank. And Israel, for the first time, was occupying East Jerusalem from the conquest of the West Bank. And Israel would never give up the east of Jerusalem again. And so we find today Israel would like to welcome people to settle the capital in East Jerusalem, which Israel recognized as the capital. And the U.S. has done that. Well, they did so last year. And other countries may join in. So you see the prophecies made hundreds of years ago being now fulfilled day by day. 17 years became a fulfillment when Israel from Independence Day became Jerusalem Day. When Israel came back, there were only, in about 1948, there were fewer than 1 million people in Israel. Today, 2015, the population has risen up to nearly 7 to 8 million. Now, this is what's going on. But although 7 or 8 million Yet, all the other surrounding nations outnumber Israel anytime. And Israel and Jerusalem still become the center of all conflicts. Isaiah 66:8 says, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." The day is coming. God says, one day a nation will be born when the whole world will recognize it. After she has gone through the travail, the punishment, the great tribulation. If God could do it in 6 days, why God could not do it in one day when Jesus would come, establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years? That will be the day the prophecy is pointing to. Now, the Bible also says that when the Jews would go back to Jerusalem, to Israel, their original land, then the desert will start to blossom as the rose. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 to 12. "And that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. It shall, to it shall Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." That will be the time of the millennium. But before that, these Gentiles nations will be attacking Israel, besieging Israel as now. But the preparation for the time to come is still future. But we can see the fruits now. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. Desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose." That day when this prophecy will be completely fulfilled will still be future. But we see the development of this now. Today, you go to Jordan, you go to River Jordan, and you go to the region, the desert region beside, you find that that region now is blossoming as the rose. All the years before Israel came back to the land, Jerusalem and that region along River Jordan were in the hands of Jordan. And that place was bleak as a desert. There was no agriculture, there were no fruits, nothing. Today, after Israel had gone back, we find that this region now is blossoming as the rose. Why was it not be able to be fruitful in the hands of the state of Jordan? God, again, is behind all this. If you're interested, you can copy this URL down and then look at this video. Very interesting, the miracle of Israel, how the desert became a rose in that video, as the video would show you how that part of the desert developed. So, the desert will blossom as the rose. What else will God do? God will make the desert bloom and restore the forest when he brings back Israel to the land. And today, Israel is about to be the world's first, world's most fruitful producer of fruits in the world. From a land that was desert, agriculture has developed to the extent that Israel now is the world's producer of fruits. Look at our list of inventions listed out. Among them, very few, and this I took from Wikipedia, internet. The drip irrigation at an Israeli nursery. Now, why was Israel able to develop agriculture in a desert land? Because they developed a new technology where the roots take the water from under the ground and not from above the ground, where they lay down pipes to water the roots under the ground. And this technology has become very fruitful so that many lands have also adopted it. Then that is the solar hot water system. You know that, I did not have to explain. Then there is the laser projection keyboard with user tablet that those of us who find difficulty in with our big fingers to tap on the keyboard of a computer, we can always transmit it onto a wall and then do whatever we want with the keyboard and it will register on the computer. This is the most important for Israel, the Iron Dome rocket interception of its system. All the countries around Israel are seeking to attack Israel. But how come they cannot attack? Because Israel has this Iron Dome rocket interception system. Anybody fires a rocket, before it can reach an area where it can bring destruction to Israel, it will be shot down. Now, this is Israeli technology. And there are a long list of inventions done by Israelites. According to Landau, 6,000 beginnings, initial inventions were discovered by Israelites, either working in Israel or Israelites working elsewhere in the world, in the US, in China, and everywhere else. You can read that again from internet. Now, Israel is growing. The neighborhood, the neighbor countries are very jealous. And they try to put Israel down. The time is coming when Israel will be attacked. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. It says that Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling. Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling. Jerusalem will be a stumbling block and a burdensome stone to the nations. Now, when these prophecies were made in Zechariah, what was Jerusalem like? It was just a small village of no importance whatsoever 2,000 years ago. Of no importance, it will be a village like Plauticus. But today, Jerusalem becomes the very center of the world and its attention to attack Jerusalem so that it becomes a stumbling block and a burdensome stone. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. All the people of the world, though gathered against it, they will be cut. They will suffer. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. That was the promise given by God to Abraham and to his seed. Lately, the UNESCO resolution, I mentioned that the last time, said that Israel had no jurisdiction, no heritage, no legacy over Jerusalem. They are wrong. They are wrong. Mahathir today, 2 days ago, would not allow Israeli athletes to come into Malaysia to take part in the games. Well, today, and yet, the reason given is we have no diplomatic relations with Israel. But why use the computer? Why use Google? Why use Facebook? Are all not these from Israel? Why? There's so many things today that Israel is where Israel is the inventor, but they ignore all this. It's downright hypocrisy. We have no diplomatic relations with them, but we use what they produce. I do not know what to say. But the time is coming when the Lord will gather all the nations against Jerusalem. All right, that is the eschatology that is to come in the future. Jerusalem will be in the great tribulation. Why? They crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished. 2,000 years have passed. Don't think that they will just let the Lord will let them go. They will be punished, but God will also keep his promise to Israel to keep them because he has chosen them. Matthew 24, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. Some Bible commentators refer to this great tribulation and say, oh, it's just one of the tribulations that will come upon the Christian when they are persecuted. No. You read it for yourself. It's a great persecution because never would occur. It never occurred in the past. It will never occur in the future again. It is the one tribulation. Jeremiah also prophesied it. Alas, for that day is great so that none is like it. None is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved from it. Jerusalem, the Jews, will be greatly persecuted. They will go through tremendous hardship, but they will be saved. This is not normal. This is not the normal persecution. This is not Holocaust. This is the great tribulation. Never happened before, never will happen again. Zechariah says, all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem. Today we know Israel is surrounded by 22 Islamic nations, 640 times in size, 60 times in population, and yet they cannot conquer that small little state of Israel. Daniel said it was a time of trouble such as never was. John gives us a description in Revelation chapter 6 to 19 of the Great Tribulation. Right, Jerusalem and Christ comes. So when Israel goes through the Great Tribulation, Christ will come. Christ must save. And that's where Matthew 24 comes in. He must save the Jews. For the sake of the elect, he will come and save and rescue them. Predicted by Zechariah, it shall come to pass in that day that I will make to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and they shall look on me whom they have pierced. John predicted it when Jesus came up from heaven on a white horse with his saints. Jerusalem then will have peace. Christ will set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years, as predicted by Zechariah. And it shall be that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. Jerusalem will become a blessing to all other people in the world. As predicted by Isaiah, I will rejoice in Jerusalem, joy in my people. There shall be no more thanks an infant of days, nor an old man that had not filled his days. No more an infant of days, meaning there will be no children who will die as children. Children will die at 100 years old. And old men will live up to long, long years as in the time of Genesis. Methuselah, 969 years old. So those of you who are, Mr. Lim, 90 years old, don't worry, you are an infant only. And those of you below 90 years old, you are less than an infant. You are still crybabies. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. Please, don't spiritualize this. All the prophecies so far have been fulfilled literally. And because they have been fulfilled literally, we expect all these prophecies to be literal as well. Ezekiel, afterward, he brought me to the temple. A temple will be built during the Great Tribulation period. And today we know, you look at the internet, there are records of the third temple being built in Jerusalem today. Secretly, perhaps, under the ground, perhaps, but the Jews are getting ready. They have got their priests ready, they have got their offerings ready, they have got all their ornaments for the tabernacle, the temple ready, all ready, just waiting for the time when the whole place will explode. Predicted by John, this reign will last 1,000 years. Finally, Jerusalem at the conclusion of the millennium. Strange, isn't it, that although there are 1,000 years of peace when Christ will reign, there are people who will still rebel. So that at the end, after Satan has been let loose from the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, he will go around and get the rebels together, and they will rebel against the Prince of Peace. And there are people there, multitudes of them, who will still side up with Satan. Today, in our country, you see this. When you know of a leader who does wrong, yet there are people who will still stick to him, follow him, and be on his side. Strange, isn't it? Well, it won't be strange when you think of the millennium, when Satan will go forth and get out or get all the rebels against the Prince of Peace. The siege, but he will be destroyed. They compass the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be very the center of all this great tribulation and problem. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Satan, who has been let loose to bring about this rebellion, finally will be sent to his destiny, and that will be in the lake of fire, not 1,000 years this time, but for eternity. Because we know that even the Antichrist and the false prophet that were sent earlier in chapter 19, verse 20, after 1,000 years, they were still there to welcome Satan. All right, I finish now. Jesus and Jerusalem. Jesus was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. But today, we associate the birth of Jesus with Jerusalem. The wise men went to Jerusalem, and they found Jesus as a babe. Now, he was not born there. He was not born in Jerusalem. When the wise men found him there, he was already perhaps 1 to 2 months old. But he was a child. He was a child already. He was not a small little baby or infant baby, as often typified and in various pictures and so on. Let us be careful that we stick to the facts. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. That will be 1 or 2 years later, not at the time of his birth. Jesus was to be crucified to die in Jerusalem. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests, and they shall condemn him to death. He died in Jerusalem. Jesus will return to earth through Jerusalem, and that day his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. So, finally, Jerusalem in heaven. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is called the holy city, and describing as the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. I conclude now with this verse from Hebrews 12. We are marching to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. The angels will be there. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. The church will be there. Who are the church? You, me, Gentiles, Jews who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. To the spirits of first men and perfect, made perfect. Who are they? They are the Old Testament saints. Abraham will be there. Moses will be there. Joseph will be there. They will not be in the church. You and I are in the church. But they will be outside the church. But they will be guests. They will be there. They are the just men made perfect. Oh, Jerusalem. Heavenly Jerusalem. Are you looking forward to it? I don't know. Because there is no amen. Amen. Hallelujah.